Yo, Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand. Setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here with Sensei Steve, Rob Bossolari on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcast.
Thank you. So you're back and I go to the bottom now.
Where are you going?
Well, you're always a bottom for me, Rob.
Oh my.
It's kind of it's, you know what, you're creamy white, juicy, and it's amazing.
Well, you know, we can cuddle up together and listen to Lisa Loeb.
Yes, we could. Yes, we could. But we got to start with the big topics of the week. Charlie Kirk.
I'm not going there. I am not going there.
Hey, listen. Our trend just went up. Hashtag. That's all I'm saying. AAA. All right. Big news out of AAA. Dominic Mysterio, new AAA champion. Mommy told him go get it back in 2022, and he accomplished it this past Saturday. You know, Dominic's hometown now is Las Vegas. This is... You know,
wait, he is? All right, hold on. Dominic, Ola Abibi, this Wednesday at 9 o'clock, come see the Vegas bad boy himself, Rob Bossolari, a.k.a. Vegas Trump guy of the Four Horsemen of Comedy, do my best work, and I will put you over. Viva la raza, a campeón, triple A, super campeón.
Come on, man. I got in trouble starting this show, and this guy's pulling this? Come on. All right.
I'm plugging me. Hashtag Donald Trump.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. But, you know, you know, for Dominic to get this late, shine on him, let's be honest. It helps AAA on the overall exposure. Wouldn't you say? Because it is a WWE branded guy, which means he'll be showing up with the belt and, you know, it will be exposure. And it's their company. So there you go.
The reaction to him winning seemed a little tepid. The skill there, he has skill in the ring. Eventually, they're going to want to see one of their own guys return. And that you could tell that there's still salty about Alberto El Patron. They are super salty about that because you already knew. Once it was in the talks, he got bounced for Vikingo. Vikingo gets bounced for an in-house guy. That's the one fear that a lot of these guys are going to have is you can't go to that well too many times.
I think the thing that really stands out is just, and kind of piggybacking off of your comment, Rob, just how much the fans have turned on Vikingo, somebody who has historically been a babyface in AAA and virtually everywhere that he's been. That was always honestly a knock on him, is that because of his moveset, you couldn't get anyone to boo him because obviously people want to cheer things like the 630 and things like that. But, you know, you can call it blending reality with kayfabe. You can call it whatever you want. But the fact is that everybody's locked in on hating Vikingo. And if Worlds Collide is any indication, everybody is locked in on cheering for Dom Mysterio. That guy was over every single time that he made his presence felt, and to massive cheers. So, yeah, I think that this was definitely the right move for them to put the Mega Championship on Dom, especially like you said, Matt. It's going to do wonders. It's going to put the Mega Championship on Raw, on WWE programming, and that exposes that brand and that championship to an entirely new audience.
Are we considering Triple A to be something like an indie?
No, it's like NXT, essentially now.
It's NXT Mexico.
Prior to WWE getting involved with it, though, were they considered more of an indie? Or is it just a whole different thing because it was another country?
They were the second biggest promotion in Mexico.
Right.
CMLL being the biggest promotion. Triple A was the second biggest promotion.
I mean, yeah, like I said, it's good. He did get a big pop. There was a lot of other moving elements to get him that belt. You know, you had three different guys get involved. How many people are you going to drag down to Mexico to make that happen every week or every time he goes down there? When he does need to contractually go down there.
You know, that's the thing. The thing is that he's part of a faction. So, you know, it doesn't matter. They're not dragging. They're getting paid. So
did you see Raw tonight?
No, I have a life, Rob.
You're a wrestling fan. No, you don't. That played a big, without making a big spoiler, you know, they're all having champagne, and which Finn Balor goes, "Hey, you know, what's your deal with this El Grande Americano guy? I'm getting sick of this crap. You're part of Judgment Day and you're rolling with him." And he throws the champagne on the floor and storms out. So this is going to come to a head, and the whole evening was clearly the Creed brothers dressed up as other Americanos running around helping him in his match. So,
Rob. Now, Finn is a little upset because the Demonito. Yeah, he got injured at Worlds Collide, man. So, you know, and he's got to, you know, make sure he's okay and nurse him back. And I think that that's important. It's not that he's mad or anything. It's just that, you know, that's going on. And plus, I don't know what you're talking about, because Ludwig Kaiser was with with El Grande Americano at Worlds Collide. And that clearly is not one of the Creed brothers. So, you know, I just think you're making stuff up, Rob. You're trying to create controversy. And it's your right. You have the free speech here to say what you'd like. However, you're wrong.
Okay, Wade Barrett. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. That's clearly not anyone but our grande Americano. It can't be. Bloody hell.
And out of this, we did also see an appearance from the Wyatts, which that was pretty interesting.
The SmackDown tag team guys are just kind of, they're there now.
Yeah, I think that AAA and these kind of co-branded shows are great for the Wyatts because their gimmick fits with traditional AAA.
Yeah, great
so
point.
It's AAA has always been about the, you know, the hyperbole in professional wrestling, magnifying the strengths, hiding any weaknesses whatsoever, and just doing everything one step beyond what they needed to do.
So here's my question now, in regards to AAA and going down the road now, going to the future, are we going to see new talent coming from their own stocks in Mexico, or are we going to see them just lean on NXT, SmackDown, Raw to introduce people? Is it going to just be like Ring of Honor is to a lesser degree, what Ring of Honor is to AEW?
I mean, the thing is, Worlds Collide showed a lot. I think that, you know, you did see variants in characters. Like, for instance, we mentioned the Demonito doll. That's not been on WWE programming. That's something that's been exclusive to AAA. Also, we saw a new look and moveset and demeanor for Natty. So she had the look that she's had when she's done the Bloodsport shows and the non-WWE shows. Commentary made note of that. So it's obviously something that they're trying all these new things.
She had the singlet, didn't she? She was rocking a kind of a singlet type.
She was wearing a bodysuit. Yeah, she was wearing a bodysuit. So, she was. It was essentially a Bloodsport match that she had with her opponent, and very solid stuff. But I think that what we're going to see is, at least for the time being, on the stateside shows, you're going to see a WWE presence. Because keep in mind, how are they going to market a AAA show with no WWE talent to essentially a brand new audience without any familiar names?
No, so, that is fair. That is fair.
It's also, don't forget too, the roster is not that big.
Right. So I think in time we'll start to see the WWE, like the people that are obviously there from WWE, we'll start to see that trickle down, and we'll start to see, you know, more of the, you know, the clowns and stuff like that. I think that it's all about getting the brand recognition out there right now.
I do agree with that.
Maybe we'll see this guy show up because, Andrade gone from WWE. Is Andrade's WWE exit meaning a possible open door for a AEW return?
Seems like wherever he goes, he's going to get bought out by somebody.
Well, and the honest answer is right here on his ugly Christmas shirt. I don't speak English.
You gave him like 25 extra pounds with that AI.
I didn't.
give him a mouthpiece, man. Give him a mouthpiece and let him run. He's great in the ring, but yeah, I completely agree. His weakness has always been his promos. If you're not going to package his promos in a subtitled type of a fashion and allow him to speak the language in which he's very comfortable speaking, he's got to have an English speaking mouthpiece.
But what's his gimmick? Because he came out with the Lucha mask. He came out with the suit pants. He's had many different gimmicks over the years. He came out as a weaker version of Rush, a faction in Gobernales. They've not been able to market him, even with mouthpieces. They've never known what to do with him. It's not that he's not impressive in the ring. It's the promos.
Well, I mean, he had a mouthpiece, but she just divorced him.
Hey-o! She just didn't do it with any flair.
No, she definitely kind of sucked.
Rim shot. He didn't get those.
No. And unfortunately, he was always left to just do the job himself.
Woo.
So
scoop. Well, damn.
Oh man.
You should ask his father-in-law how to pick up women.
I guess so. You know. That's El Speso Montano. Right? That's how you say it in Spanish, I think. I don't know. El Speso Montano.
La Montaña del Espacio. I don't know.
One of the things we should be learning is how to speak Saudi. Because WrestleMania 43.
Hold on, I can do that. Assalamu alaikum. Then you say malinkum assalam, and then you go, why the fuck are we here? As nobody in that promo poster wanted to fucking be there.
Yeah.
It's just like walking in on a below rim flare job joke.
Exactly.
It's exactly what it feels like. I don't know what you mean. Look at that. That looks like everyone in this picture is so happy. Look at that
shit.
Well, listen.
There are happier people in Utah right now.
Listen, as Triple H said, a partnership built on history, respect, and global impact. The next step in bringing the spectacle of WrestleMania to a global stage for the greatest fans in the world. The road to 2027 starts now, and it's going to be epic. So, and the response on the live chat. You sold out. Sell out. You sold out. It's funny. I didn't even know tickets went on sale.
The thing is with this Saudi WrestleMania that I don't think people are quite grasping. So if you look at it strictly from a business sense, okay, weren't we talking, or wasn't it mentioned on the internet about a month ago, how the idea had been floated around to certain people of there actually being more than one WrestleMania in a year. Right. So if that's the case, then this makes all the sense in the world, because you could have, you know, one WrestleMania being in Riyadh, and the rumored compensation is somewhere in the neighborhood of $350 million, by the way, because right. it's not just going to be, you know, one night of WrestleMania. It's going to be the full deal. They're getting SmackDown. Right. They're getting two nights of Mania, and they're getting Monday Night Raw. So,
we've come a long way from Daniel Bryan going, I can't under any moral code perform Riyadh, to these women are being thrown up there in business suits. They look miserable. They have to perform and be role models to children who will never be able to perform. None of those women, those young girls in that audience, are ever going to get to be anything like that. And probably the majority of the men either. It is awkward. It's very awkward. And also, you got to go there. It's not just that you're going to perform and then you can just go in your hotel room. These people have to be paraded all around the city and act as if this is normal. It's awkward. It's very, very, very awkward. And it also speaks to who really is pulling the trigger and controlling things. Would Vince McMahon have allowed this to this degree? I don't know.
Yeah, because Vince would have been getting all the fucking money.
Yeah, exactly.
Stephanie, get over there and walk out with the camel. Give him a show like we saw in Mexico.
I finish it off.
What he'd do too.
God damn it, finish it off. I honestly don't know what Stephanie's toes have to do with this.
She's got beautiful camel toes, god damn it.
So this coming from Wrestling Observer. WWE is reportedly preparing to go all out for WrestleMania 43 in Saudi Arabia with major efforts
out
to bring back legendary names for blockbuster matches. Uncle Dave explained how aggressive WWE is expected to be. Quote, they have matches that they want and they're working really, really, really hard to get. Even though it's a couple of years, I don't know if they're going to be able to get them. But they're going to spend a lot of money to get what they want. Obviously, we're talking about anyone coming out of retirement that wants to come out of retirement. The big name value will be able to get a lot of money for the show. That's what they want. Brian Alvarez said, so we're talking, there's going to be an Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold versus The Rock. And that's what we're looking at here. Neither of those specific matches I've heard, but yes. Some people, some of those people will, I would presume all those people will be contacted, and the ones who want to do it will be able to. Some may not want to do it, but the ones who have any interest in doing it or any interest in the great payday, they'll be able to get it, to get on the show. What's funny, once again, I love Dave because it's just like, we don't know any names. We don't know anything about the people. But apparently, if they were offered money, those people would do it. Yeah, probably, Dave.
If it's a 7 to 8 figure payday, as has been rumored, then abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah, well, and think about it. This is going to be the test of Cena, right? Cena said, I'm never going to wrestle another match. And you know that those Saudis are going to offer him probably eight like paydays worth of movies.
Salam alaikum, Peacemaker!
Well, look, I think this has got it right here. WrestleMania 43, the card, if the Saudis have any control over it. Taker versus Shawn. Austin versus Rock. Brett versus Goldberg. Lesnar versus Batista. Angle versus Cena. And finally, Triple H versus Ric Flair.
Old-timers day. That's what they have at Yankee Stadium.
Well, it, you know what? It's sad because even though he's dead, Hogan is banging at the door to get in on this. So,
number 52. How do you know that? The shortstop, Ric Flair.
Hey, no one's ever called Flair a shortstop.
No. He's a catcher.
You know, I think that the catching nowadays is being done by people who have a little more flexibility than Mr. Flair.
Well, he actually wanted to go into the ring, but he's on blood thinners, and Tony told him, "Wait, you're on blood thinners? Nope. Wait, nope, that ain't happening.
Wait." He talks to Tony. I don't think either of them know he's still under contract. Raw is set for 7 p.m. Eastern start time for the rest of September. This way they don't have to go against Monday Night Football head to head for the whole thing. Good move, bad move, indifferent move.
I think it's a good move. Realistically, you're getting now an hour unopposed at minimum. So it now you can't point to the Monday Night Football game as being a direct deterrent to anything outside of the West Coast.
We're still at work. We're still on the clock. Yep, we're driving home. And now half the show is over. We went on Facebook and we spoiled it for ourselves.
Whoa, wait. Now, on the flip side of that, everyone complains, well, there's all these goddamn commercials. So if you just wait till you get home and you start a little late, you don't get the commercials.
Yeah, you don't get any commercials, which is crazy.
While it's airing live still. And you can watch the whole thing. So if you started at, let's say, 5:30.
I got commercials, but I was able to fast forward through them.
After it's done.
Yeah, I was able
to. But I'm saying if you're airing it live and you start somewhere around a half an hour into it, those commercials are cut out as you're watching it live.
It's my thing has always been the social media aspect because those bastards flood social media the moment something big happens. It's you know what? The proof will be in the pudding. I'm not going to say anything until we see what the numbers look like on the out. I think that's fair. We could say this is the greatest thing, and people are going to go, it's too early for me.
Yeah, I get that. My main point with saying that was that it's smart because it sets them up so that they have the jump on the Monday Night Football broadcast.
Matt has to fix his I have shitty internet photo. He's lost a considerable amount of weight and is even attracted to a member of the opposite sex, to our knowledge.
Yeah, man.
And he needs to,
Matt's put in some work, bro. Matt's put in a lot of work.
Well, except on his internet connection.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, what do you do? But, yeah, man, it's pretty crazy the way that everything is kind of happening right now with, the business of Mania going back to Riyadh and all of this thing that 5 years ago we probably didn't even think would be a thing. And it realistically just goes to show you just how dynamic the pro wrestling business can be. And again, it goes back to one thing, Vince McMahon being ousted from TKO WWE. So
because again, now we can leverage the business in a way that it never was before. And what he did to make it great is what he also did to keep it under wraps. Is that a fair assessment? He grew into as big as anyone had to date, but now it can go globally. I don't like the mixed platforms though. ESPN and ESPN, Netflix, are all the PLEs on ESPN now, or is Peacock?
Peacock deal's done. So the only thing that's going to be there is going to be NXT for the short term.
For the PLEs.
Now as a consumer, I'm going, do I drop Peacock? What am I watching Peacock for if other than the PLEs, which are going to be at ESPN?
Yep. Well, so, all the other programming on Peacock.
For now.
I mean all the other programming. Like
non-WWE stuff. Oh yeah.
Right, exactly. That's
I want to watch Law and Order reruns, otherwise I could give two shits.
Well, then you're obviously not checking out the whole cock. You're just looking at it like the shaft.
Just the tip.
Sometimes just the tip is all you need.
Yeah.
It's a matter of trust.
Scoop is right. Dude. The Saturday night's main event is going to be on Peacock exclusively. The Young Buck here, Matt Jackson, says, bring back the WWE Network for $9.99. Matt, have you visited this world yet? That shit is never fucking happening again.
Sadly.
That was also shit. You would log on there. You'd come in late. You go log on there, and it'd have all the fucking results on the WWE Network right on the front page.
I didn't have a problem with that shit. I hate Peacock for the pay-per-views, man. I'm so happy that shit's done for the PLEs, because you can't rewind. Like if you get home in the middle of a show.
Oh yeah. You got to wait hours.
Even 2 hours after the show for it to get archived.
But we're not sure that it's going to be the case with ESPN. It might be the same thing, dude.
Hey,
if they are smart. And I'm hoping that any move that they make would be a growth one. We're not talking a Tony Khan production. You would imagine you go, hey, wait a minute. I come in at, an hour into the programming. I want to watch it from the beginning. I can't.
Right.
Maybe ESPN does not want that associated with their brand. I would imagine they wouldn't want that.
Well, I haven't downloaded the shit yet because I can't figure out my fucking 9 different Disney fucking emails that apparently all link to getting this for free because I got the cable thing. It's just like, what the fuck?
I have no fucking clue. I'll probably be crashing one of your places.
But, the honest answer is you should be able to find out right now because you can watch a live sporting event on ESPN right now on it. So it should be able to tell us. TKO executive Mark Shapiro says Vince McMahon did not maximize ticket prices because he was trying to price the tickets for families. UFC has done a tremendous job with ticket yielding, and WWE is now seeing upside using this method. He finished saying this: if we have a St. Louis going up against a Des Moines, Iowa, and you want us back there, you have and you've broken records and sold out both your arenas, you have to pay for us to come back or else we'll take it to another town. And that goes for NXT, Raw, SmackDown, and the WWE.
Is that Drew telling me how I ran my business? He doesn't even work on a Friday night. Get him out of here. You're fired.
Never did I think that Mark Shapiro, of all people, would spark a Vince McMahon babyface turn in 2025. But here we are saying that he marketed for families and kept the prices low. So in case you can't read between the lines, what they're saying is if you thought that $2,000-ish for WrestleMania ticket last year was a little high, you ain't seen shit yet.
Well, but can we just say the truth? And that is that
it's business.
Right. And in this type of business was sparked by Dana White and the UFC, and which is the most ironically funny thing, considering UFC is in the position where they're not profitable right now, which is why they're capitalizing on the WWE to be profitable.
Because but the way they're running their WrestleMania is already fucking asinine. As much as I like the idea of Vegas 2 years in a row, it looks stupid to have Vegas 2 years in a row and then go to Riyadh. If you're an American citizen, you're like, what the fuck?
It doesn't have anything to do with American citizens anymore.
No, I understand that. But
it's all money, bro.
Of course it is. But down the road, how many times have we looked at decisions that we would go, wow, this is really greedy. It's all about the money. And then eventually it catches up with the brand and they go, we're like, hey, we're not getting on board anymore with it. I might go to the AEW show because it's more affordable. I might go to the TNA show. I might supplement and go outside of the WWE.
Hold on. First off, the TNA shows, check out the prices, what they're running for their shows now. And also, AEW, if they get any type of ratings increase or any type of demand for tickets, their prices are going up.
Yeah, but it's not going to be what it was.
This is a bullshit thing that fans complain about, and that is, oh, the prices are so high. Yeah, because people are paying for the fucking tickets. Period.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I completely fucking agree. But at the end of the day, if we don't call it out and if we don't mention what we've mentioned on the show, then that's a problem. You know, I understand the business aspect of it completely, being a diehard capitalist. I'm completely on board with the idea of them maximizing their profits and maximizing their ticket yield. And especially, full disclosure, being a TKO stockholder. Absolutely. I'm okay with it.
I'm a Yankees fan, and you cannot afford to go behind home plate at Yankee Stadium.
No.
So John Oliver, a pundit, bought a bunch of tickets and gave them away, and people showed up in dinosaur costumes, and everyone was going, well, what's going on here? This isn't appropriate. No, what's not appropriate is you have a program, the seats are paid for, and nobody's sitting in them. There's a person sitting in that seat who's not a fan of the product. You know, Tony Khan, you made fun of him a couple of years ago, Matt, because he was comping seats. Now,
everybody's comped seats.
All right. Yeah,
promoter has comped seats.
Yeah. He made fun of him hardcore for that. So my thing is, you're going to make it super retarded expensive. All right. How sustainable is that?
Again,
They're generating more money than they ever have. Sorry to
interrupt. Right. It's only sustainable as long as the market value demands it. It's capitalism, Rob. That's all this fucking is. And the problem is that the fucking idiots in this country who don't understand how this fucking thing works, and that is the rich get richer while the poor get poorer, that is the whole idea of it. Yeah. This is not meant for you to go to WrestleMania. It's meant for the rich kids to go to WrestleMania. It's meant for the billionaires to fucking buy the boxes and the suites and all that.
Well, here's my advice to anyone watching this program. Wait till the last 40 seconds and buy your tickets.
Never been cheap.
No, but the front row was $2,500.
Fuck off.
What I spent in 2025 to watch would have been a front row ticket in 2019 or somewhere near. Than I was.
You would have been on the floor. You would have been on the floor.
Yeah, it would have been the front row.
You would have been on the floor for sure. Speaking as somebody who has gone to many of WrestleManias, yes, that is a completely accurate statement.
I mean, look, we lost DJ Impact because he had to sell his ass to pay for his tickets. I mean,
We found out the truth. He didn't have to pay for the tickets. He's selling his ass to get his plane fare, his hotel fare, and his full four-night package for WrestleMania 47. So,
okay, Mr. Darryl, you're about to meet the Biz. Bike Mizanin. Who? Bike Mizanin.
No. Now he's going to be meeting Mr. Mahakala over in Saudi Arabia. Mahakala, of course, is Saudi for the Miz.
Oh.
Of course.
And awesome. Mecca, mecca, hi, mecca, hiney ho.
Hey, speaking of hiney ho, Charlotte Flair admits in early 40, she's ready to step away from WWE to become a mom. I really want kids one day. That's the thing. I can do both, but it depends on the time. I think wrestling's in my blood. I don't know any different. Like, I love it, but I do want to be a mom. With Trish Stratus coming back and having these one offers, she's 50, looks better than half the roster, and I don't think that door will ever close. I do know I want to step away to have children. The question is,
that requires a penis or turkey baster?
Well, listen,
but she got rid of the last three penises.
They all could have been turkey basters, for all you know.
You know, she got rid of the Mexican one, she got rid of the English one. And I don't remember the first one, but I do remember Bram, and I do remember Andrade. So, you know, is she just going to get surrogate dick? I mean, what is she doing here?
Well, she's got a gobbledygooker if she's basting. So, could you imagine if like she got the DNA of the gobbledygooker and shot that into her and had a little?
I know where she can get some DNA from, the genetic jackhammer.
Is it wrong to call a little child a gooker?
What country do they come from?
Exactly.
What decade is this?
Well, I don't know what decade this is, but this picture is currently from recently here, where Roxanne is recreating the picture she did with AJ Lee. And, as Charlotte's talking about retiring, Saraya announced she's ready to come home and be Paige once again in WWE. When I watched AJ, I've watched that return over and over again because she's my fairy godmother. She was the one that took me under her wing when I first came up on the roster and we traveled together. My social media is blown up. I cannot go on there without hundreds of thousands of people doing videos being like, please bring back Saraya, please bring back Paige. It made me emotional. People still like me. They still want me to be around. That's probably the best feeling in the world for me. If she comes back, like her. She might get the gobbledygooker too. We'll get another video.
Austin Creed likes her.
So wait, so our he's kind of like this right now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what happens when you get with her. You get the mumps.
Not good.
No, he got pented. It kind of, actually, if you look close, it kind of looks like Bianca Belair.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just talking about the lower south end of Bianca. Right? Yeah. Little Bianca South.
You're in trouble again.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rob. Here. Kind of looks like Jade Cargo.
Oh, Jesus. A storm just came.
I'm sorry. They all look the same to me.
Oh, God.
I'm talking about vaginas. I'm talking about the pussy.
Wait a minute. If they all look the same, you got to go to other websites, dude. I can give you some links.
Sure, you could.
We got Matthew Jackson calling it. Paige comes back at the Rumble. Jericho too. Yep. That's very, very possible right now.
Completely agree.
Geriatric Jericho.
Yep.
Obama, what do you have to say about the bionic scoop here?
Now, a lot of American citizens are given such great compliments that they look like myself. And when in actuality, they look like Michelle. The back of her head has been mistaken for a lot of young gentlemen. And that can happen from time to time.
So on NXT, we got a lot of setup coming up for this episode of NXT that's coming up this week, including seeing that Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair will defend the tag titles on the show, as well as this trio of Stephanie and Mommy and Tiffy teaming up to go against, what are they called? Indecent Exposure, I believe. Yeah. And also we got, look at this. Tyler Breeze came back. And it looks like the Prince of Pretty there is going to be there to, we suppose to support Fandango, who's wrestling on the show. But I got a feeling that could we see him betray Fandango and see the two of
them? Is he still part of the system?
Yeah. Yes, okay. He is.
You know, it's 2025 and Tyler Breeze is still rocking a selfie stick. That's dedication to the gimmick right there.
Yeah, he's still got a full head of hair, which is pretty fucking impressive. And
no shit.
Dude's fucking pretty fucking, I mean, it was impressive to see him. Like he didn't, here, look at this. Tiffy is out, Lyra is in, Tiffy is dinged up.
Who dinged her up?
Not Kaiser.
Oh, must have been a very, very jaded Andrade El Idolo. He wanted to ding her up on the way out.
I kind of like the idea that it was Jade. Now that she's jaded, so maybe she got a little taste of that card, Gil.
And then the storm came.
SmackDown, speaking of Tiffany and Jade, and that's where the ding up must have happened right there, huh?
Yeah.
But the most important story on SmackDown, of course, was Brock Lesnar ripping his freaking his fucking tights, doing the F5. Isn't it great? Isn't it just
gotta love it? It, dude. Breaking the thing is, like, he sold that shit. Like he was all in on it.
Yeah.
Even if you saw what he was saying at the top of the ramp, he even threw out blue underwear. It's like, fuck. Yes, give me humorous Brock Lesnar, please.
You know, when I think about all these years, he didn't need a hype guy per se. He did well on his own. Not amazing, but he was pretty damn good. And his timing is great.
Yes,
Cena's jorts greater than Brock's pants. True, very true.
All right. I would love to see the Doctor of Thugonomics one last time.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you want to, but you can't see him. According to Wall Street Journal, Paramount Skydance is currently preparing a majority cash bid by Warner Brothers Discovery, including its cable networks and movie studio. Okay, gentlemen, this means potential bad news for AEW. This is what you can't control when you've got so much network money involved. And who knows? You would think realistically, if they don't monkey around with the television structure, a live broadcast show is going to, you know, put more eyes than a rerun or something like that. But the Paramount executives are like, you know what? You know, we're going this way with it. It's just so up in the air. It's like when you have a sale like this, who the hell knows what this is?
Very simple, very simple solution. AEW Power on YouTube. Okay. Limited run episodes. Get Billy Corgan involved. Great production. Smaller stages, more intimate settings. It'll be great. 10 pounds of gold. You know, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah. But unfortunately, with Billy, despite all his rage, he's still just a rat in the cage.
Yeah, you know,
Jesus Christ, these dad jokes.
It's interesting because obviously that's the inherent concern for a lot of professional wrestling fans is, okay, what's going to happen with AEW? Realistically speaking, they will be fine regardless of whatever the situation is, because they do, let's be honest, have a really lucrative ownership group consisting of father and son. So, I mean, realistically, it is, I think that there's not a whole lot to be concerned about over the long term with AEW, especially because of what they've been able to do with turning ratings around a bit. I think that we are seeing them start to get more aggressive too, with making match announcements from week to week and actually starting to promote things. That was a big bitch, whine, gripe, and complaint of mine for the longest, is that if you remember when AEW first rolled out, they would have the last 2 minutes of the show and Excalibur rattling off show lineups like the fucking Micro Machines guy, if you want a reference from the 80s. But
woo at the end,
and that was a lot and of they got away from it for whatever reason. And we've discussed that ad nauseum on the show, but I think that, you know, with September to Remember this week, which is a 3-hour show, they've already announced 8 matches for that. So they're starting. I know, Matt, I know, but actually they have less network TV this week than they do regularly because the pay-per-view's on Saturday. And they're not doing Collision. So essentially,
well, they're not doing Collision because if a television program airs and nobody watches it, did it air?
I'll play. But in any event, this news for WBD, we mentioned stock price earlier with TKO. Dude, WBD's stock price is, I don't want to say at an all-time high right now, but they're flirting with all-time high on the heels of this announcement. So what really does that tell you about the public and Warner Brothers Discovery as a company?
Yeah, well, but that brings up the bigger question, and that is HBO Max.
Yep.
Does it survive since they got Paramount Plus? It's just, again, this,
I mean, they could merge the offerings, which I genuinely hope they don't. But
how far are we talking for this merger?
Corporate mergers typically take 6 to 8 months once they're announced. Yeah.
So we got a while before we have.
It's a while. Yeah.
And
it's people just stirring the pot. That's all.
If I were to look at this company in the lens of whether or not it's profitable, I would go, okay, Dynamite is decent. Yep. Collision is a cancerous, left leg.
Depending on when they on how much effort they devote to it. If they make it an actual must-see show in their lineup, then yeah, I could see them actually drawing more people to watch. Yeah, but they don't. They don't. It's like a C-level show.
Well, then why don't they bring CM Punk back on the show?
but here's the thing: I watched Collision this week, start to finish, and it was good.
Yeah.
The stuff that they did with Jerry Lynn and was fucking great. With the Scissor Me Timber Crew, fucking great. The MJF, we're gonna have tables and thumbtacks, fucking great. I don't care about FTR right now; they're filler. I don't care about the Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. Don't give two shits about them.
I don't think anyone does.
The women's match was good. You got to highlight all of the best women you had. There was no Mercedes Moné anywhere near that fucking match. It was good. You got Benjamin Ricochet. Great. Paige Alexander. Meh, who cares about Josh Alexander?
That street fight, though.
Mercedes Moné and Amy Sakura was bizarre. It was bizarre. It's really just put Windsor over. Riho is... doesn't have any, standing in the company anymore. Sky Blue and Timeless Toni Storm. I like Sky Blue as part of this Triangle of Madness. As an individual, she does not have enough charisma to stand up against Toni Storm. But as a tag type scenario, and now they're just launching women tag teams out there. They're like, hey, TJ, this day, they're just splattering out women's tag teams. So obviously, we know what's going to happen there. They're laying the groundwork for some good stuff, and there was some good. And by the way, again, Jerry Lynn looked fucking amazing for his age,
yeah.
taking yeah. bumps and shit in the ring.
I don't know how excited I am to get the Acclaimed put back together, though. Realistically speaking, when they broke up, people knew that it was going to be a bit of an issue. I don't think that they realized just how sideways things would go. Obviously, they...
The five-tool player? What the fuck is that?
Dude, the thing is, when the guy that your company books to be the babyface of the duo ends up being the heel and vice versa, that's when you know that things are completely off track. I mean...
And the funny thing was...
Somehow Max Caster gets over an unbelievable chant that is ridiculous.
And it went, and people were going for it. Let's go, Max. You're the greatest wrestler of all time. And you're like, oh my God, this went over this time. But that was what the New Day was. When the New Day came out, nobody gave two shits about them. It took a long time for them to go, New Day rocks. And then you saw the look on Xavier's face when they actually said rocks and not sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think something that we have to mention too is, you know, obviously the street fight was pretty fucking crazy. You know, you have the staple gun being used. You had all sorts of weapons being used. Of course, it was the right outcome for that match.
Tony Storm getting her tits stapled?
She got her tits, her ass cheeks, and her vag stapled. So there's all that. Realistically, we do. We also have a new member to the most hated faction in professional wrestling now, the Death Riders. As Daniel Garcia has turned heel. And has joined up with Jon Moxley. Hopefully, this can make the audience give a shit about this guy. Probably right. not. Because
putting Daniel Garcia and Wheeler Yuta next to each other is a great idea.
The two charisma vacuums in the same faction.
No, I mean, the only thing he had going for him was the dance. And that was it.
And that's gone. That's gone now completely.
Yeah. And he's got the shitty haircut. He's got the shitty ring gear. He's got no fucking gimmick. And now they're saying, well, the Death Riders, Jon Moxley, we don't care about belts. What do you mean to say we don't care about belts? You stole the belt for a year and didn't let anyone see it because you cared about the belt so goddamn much. That was every promo. We care about professional wrestling so goddamn much that we don't want any motherfuckers to see the belt. Now they're going, we here, the Death Riders, don't care about titles.
Now that they don't have any of the championships, they don't care about them, of course.
We care about this emo kid. And we took two of our own. Look at these little guys, little rascals. This guy's got the long hair. This other one's got the 12-year-old haircut. he went to Supercuts. You know, told him to make it a number one barber. Put a little pomade in it, you know? A little bit of the old gel in there. This is good old fashioned wrestling with a bunch of jobbers.
Well, speaking of, So Stevie Richards, and this comes from Uncle Dave. So Stevie Richards, his comments were basically that Kyle Fletcher needs to go to NXT to learn how to work, and he's not good enough for NXT yet. But he believes that Kyle Fletcher, if he went to NXT, would in time be good enough. He basically says an AEW guys tried to do too many moves and they go so fast and he needs that teaching to become a good wrestler, which he is not at this point. And then I watched NXT right after he said this and everyone just does move after move, except not nearly as good as Kyle Fletcher, not even the same league as Kyle Fletcher. Listen, Dave's got Kyle Fletcher's dick in his mouth at this point, and is slobbering, and it's just like this guy is seriously probably top whatever in the world right now. It had to be the absolutely most preposterous critique I think I have heard someone say. Someone sent it to me to make me laugh, and it was just like, this is unbelievable.
Wait. Has he never seen New Japan Pro Wrestling where they string together like five finishers in a row? This is where this guy came from, was NJPW, where they go really fucking fast. Okay, watch a Mike Bailey matches. They're fighting, you know, four stories up in the crowd, running down narrow ramps and shit. That's where he came from. AEW is borrowing from other promotions in that sense. Not a surprise there. It's not supposed to be WWE with long, drawn-out chops and everyone staring. It's like those video games where they draw a little line across the screen so you know where which direction the attack is going to come from. That's WWE. And that's fine. It's a style. It's the style of that promotion. I don't want to grade Kyle Fletcher on what everybody else in the promotion's doing.
Grab a five-minute chin lock, brother. No,
what are your thoughts?
Realistically speaking, the whole Kyle Fletcher thing, if you actually watch him from when he was a babyface, because he has been a babyface in AEW, as opposed to what he's done as a member of the Don Callis family, he slowed his style down because he did used to be boom, 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 boom. But now if you look at it, he is leaning more into the heel persona. He is doing more selling and actually conveying more emotion in each match. So I don't know which matches that Stevie Richards has watched of Kyle Fletcher, but I don't agree with him on that. It's not a good look.
All right.
Especially. Yeah. Now,
here's my problem with it though, to be honest. And this is very clear. Dave Meltzer, you included, Steve. This is common knowledge. You guys have never wrestled.
Yeah.
Never been in a ring. So when a guy like Stevie Richards says something like this, this is the bullshit that Meltzer does to keep things divided so he gets his attention, yeah. Right? Stevie's not saying this out of controversy. Stevie's saying this as a professional wrestler who has observed this guy and said, listen, the guy could go to NXT and become a better professional wrestler. And it's about the storytelling. He said it specifically. It's about the in-ring storytelling. That's all it is. I think Kyle Fletcher is way more entertaining and way more better potential wrestler than fucking Will Ospreay, to be honest.
All right. But see, the thing
that's
is,
that's my personal opinion. That's my personal opinion.
Kyle Fletcher's whole thing is Kyle Fletcher is Australian.
No. But Rob, you're missing the point. Wait, see, you're doing the same fucking thing too. The point is that he isn't developed enough.
Yeah.
Because you just brought that up now. So that's the whole point. The point is that what they have over there is a system of developing character in ring, making it so that you are polished enough to then get released from that company, go back to AEW, and become Tony Storm, right? Tony Storm learned so much from being in that system that she's able to do it on her own now because she's not getting any help over there. She's created this, herself. So I just think that to say Stevie Richards, it's preposterous, he's wrong, blah, blah, blah. Again, take a deep breath, take a step back and go, the guy was one of the best professional guys in terms of being a professional, right? Stevie Richards worked his ass off to learn this business and he learned it from Paul Heyman. So it's hard.
Well, in that vein, that's like listening to a Bully Ray talk about his critique of the PWI. And he's going, where do you guys come up with this list of top 100? You could tell that these guys aren't wrestlers because their reasoning is insane.
But that's and again, that's something that PWI is a whole different fucking animal. And that's been shit for years and years and years.
Decades. Sure.
No, Bully Ray, it's more so when he says something, again, that fans point that he's a WWE guy, he's on their payroll, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, no, Bully Ray is just an opinionated fucking guy.
Yeah.
He does also have a Legends deal. Full disclosure, yeah. He does also get paid by
when that conversation. The conversations that he were having was before the Legends deal, when he was still TNA adjacent.
But it's just who Bully Ray is.
That's fine. Yeah, that was the thing. I said it's the same concept.
He is a dick if he wants to be a dick. We know this about the guy. And he's had quite a few concussions too. So, you know, it doesn't make sense sometimes.
No, I mean, with Kyle Fletcher, do you think that he's, do you think anything associated with the Don Callis family is detrimental to his career? Or do you think that Don Callis bump has done well for him? I think it's done well for him as of late.
I think that at one point, yes, it was a detriment, but what they have done, and smartly so, they've raised the bar for the talent level in that stable. So they've, you know, obviously you have the G1 winner Takeshita in there, albeit for not too much longer, as he's going to be exiting the stable. But outside of him, you've got Okada in there. Obviously Fletcher's stock has gone up. It really does look like as if they are pushing this stable and this group, and they do have an air of legitimacy. At one point, no, they didn't, but now they're getting there.
The one thing I like with having Don Callis versus a Paul Heyman is Don Callis does great commentary and he puts over the other wrestler fighting one of his guys. He gives a great critique of the opponent. He did that with the Anthony Bowens match, and he put Anthony Bowens over in a really significant way. He always comes back though, but he's not as good as my guy. Good, but
has to save face like that.
Of course, but he puts the guy over, and he gives you a great critique. Back in the day, AEW, back in the day, a few years ago, Taz would do the same thing. They would have a moment where Taz would have a 30-second ad where he would put over one of the other guys, give the critiques on him. They've experimented with a lot of things, but Don Callis does it in a very simple, organic way. I actually like having him on commentary. It does a good job, and WWE does not have that element now.
And they shouldn't, because they only have one fucking manager, and it's Paul Heyman.
Yeah, so, right. Yeah.
But that would be, I'm saying, like, then you
can have what's working with WWE.
No, Heyman's doing the exact right thing. He's in the ring. He's emotive. He's on the ringside. He's emotive. He is adding more color to the matches without having to speak. But Don Callis is a different type of manager, and he's a very effective one for AEW. I still don't like Stokely Hathaway. He's too slapstick for me. And smart Mark Sterling. I don't know if he's over at Ring of Honor. But
he's in Ring of Honor.
Both of those guys are just comic relief guys. I just can't. I can't take any group.
Wow, and you didn't even bring up Prince Nana.
Prince Nana is a different, because he doesn't talk at all for the most part. He just dances, which is kind of very Disney-ish. But if he was a Disney crow, I'd be like, all right. He's a different
side of you is talking right now.
Prince Nana is a Disney crow. That's what they did with Prince Nana.
Oh my god.
Prince Nana is a goddamn Disney. If it wasn't for the fact that he's trying to be some sort of Caribbean or African, he'd be going, Hello there, Mr. Swerve. But that's his gimmick, is he's shucking and jiving. And he's Teddy Long. He's Teddy Long with a Caribbean accent.
DJ Impact's raw high cowboy boots. White snake skin pattern on the top of the shoe. I got my hat on. I'ma tie it with a noose. Cause I love you to death, girl. You got me on you. Yeah, these girls do the most. Like every time I talk, they don't like what I post. I went down to Texas to perform a couple shows. Cause they love the way I move and they love the way I roll. Big
Pimpin'. So, Steve, a little over or under for this week's AEW.
All right, man. So, as we mentioned earlier, AEW September to Remember is this Wednesday, effectively the go-home show for All Out in Toronto. As I mentioned, it's going to be a three-hour show. So they've already announced 8 matches for this show. So they've loaded up the card. My over-under for this week, obviously, if you're doing math at home on cable TV, you're going to have roughly 54 minutes of commercials out of 180 minutes. So you've got 126 minutes of content. Realistically speaking, we're going to have over 100 minutes of in-ring action this week on AEW Dynamite, as AEW shows that they really do excel in the ring, and they're going to continue to do that as they lead up to All Out on Saturday.
Okay. All right, President, pontificate.
You know, we were talking about dancing black guys before. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
And I think to myself, you know, remember Virgil? He didn't do a lot of dancing. I liked Virgil. I'm a billion-dollar man. I didn't have a Virgil. I demand, I told Vince, when I come down the ring, I want my own Virgil, okay? Give me one of the New Day guys. What happened with the one? He broke his neck. I said, give me him. Have him dance. Have him do a two-step, okay? I want him to do the Holy Ghost when I come down the ramp, you know? Speaking of virgins, you got the three girls from the Triangle of Madness. Those two, not Tekla. She looks like she's been used up like a windsock. But the other two, they look like they're pretty fresh and clean. You know, I mean, she's called Sky Blue, but we can make the sheets red. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, we can make that happen. And then I want my Virgil. I want Virgil to watch it, okay? If anyone tries to get in, maybe we'll get Omos. We get that Omos to star. We'll get him to stand in front and guard. Remember when they had the WWE Fight Club, the Underground Fight Club, and he just sat there like a bodyguard and did nothing? I'm giving you a chance, Omos, okay? I want to fuck the girls from the Death Triangle female. What is it? The Feminine Death Triangle? Okay. I do have the Death Triangle King once a month in the women's locker room. I don't know. Anyways, it's an enigma. But I want my black dancing guy to guard the door while I fuck the ladies, the virgins from the Triangle of Madness. You know what? I'll even settle for Awesome Kong because she's built like a dude. I'll take Awesome Kong or, you know, like Nyla Rose, okay? Nylon Rose. Because Nylon Rose had a cockwood. So Nylon Rose and Awesome Kong, if I can't get Omos or a strong enough dancing black guy, there's got to be a lot of dancing black guys. Who was the guy who fell under the ring? You know, he can dance too. Technically, all the black guys can dance because they're black. I need dancing. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they're black. I can't dance. I could do that dance. But, we're going to need a dancing black guy for me when I come down the ramps at the Republican National Convention to announce me, okay? Is Trump Mr. Fine? You know, I need, like, you know, something like that, you know? You know, something like that. Trump Strickland, you could call me Swerve Trump. We, you know, put a black dancing guy. I want my own Virgil is what I'm saying, because I'm the billion-dollar man. I deserve my own Virgil. I do declare.
All right, time to take a social media dump, and we'll start right here with this beautiful, beautiful thing. Rhea Ripley has been brutally killed by Art the Clown in a dream come true for the former WWE Women's World Champion. Appearing at Silver Scream Con, Ripley shared the stage with the star of Terrifier film series, played in the films, David Howard Thornton. After some tensions between the two, when Art grabbed Ripley's Labubu toy, Ripley slapped Art, only to be slapped in return. This sent Ripley to the floor and a cleaver shot to the WWE superstar finished her off. Individuals dressed as medical staff would carry away Ripley's lifeless body. Rhea then revealed this was no random stunt, but something she had been eager to do for years. On social media, she wrote, "I may have just lived my dream. Thank you at Silver Screen Con. Ice 9 kills and everybody involved." And of course, that little beautiful photo of her and Art.
Somewhere in Australia, there's an injured wrestler going, "It was that bloody easy."
Well, going from that couple to this cute couple right here, MJF and his AEW title. I'm so glad they got married. And, you know, here's the thing. it was MJF's wedding, and yet Tony Khan decided to just take center stage and steal the fucking wedding. Look at the bride. Look at her. She's not happy. She's pretty. Look at Thunder Rosa. She looks like she like would.
She doesn't look like John Thunder Rosa.
Well, you know.
She looks like the Jewish girl's Puerto Rican best friend.
Jewish girl's Puerto Rican best. Yeah, yeah, Thunder Rosa. There you go.
Well, it's New Yorker, so not a Mexican. It's got to be Puerto Rican.
Former WWE star Maven helped a young fan that suffered a stroke meet Cody Rhodes. That was pretty cool. That this guy, you know, this kid got to meet Cody because Maven, you know, pointed it out. That was great.
Oh, I thought you said Maven had a stroke.
Yeah.
Maven's got a great YouTube channel, by the way. Like, yeah. He's done a lot of really good things since he's been done with his in-ring career.
Yeah, absolutely. Drew McIntyre, The Rock wants Cody's soul. I want his ass. Yeah, look at Cody's ass right there.
He wants his ass soul.
Yeah, his ass soul. Why wouldn't you want Cody's ass soul? I mean, it really is an American nightmare. Making an appearance on the Howard Stern show, Conan O'Brien shared a fascinating anecdote about how one of his lines was used by The Rock in WWE. Tommy Blatchett, a writer on Late Night with Conan O'Brien, left the show to become a creative director.
Hold on, Tommy Blatchett of Metalocalypse. Tommy Blatchett is all over Metalocalypse. He's all over that show.
Cool. I don't know what those words mean, but yay for Tommy Blanchett. Good for you. He also was the creative director in WWE in 1999. Conan frequently joked around with the writers pretending to be a larger-than-life blowhard. One of his put-downs he used was, "Why don't you have a nice tall glass of shut-up juice?" After Tommy joined WWE, he contacted Conan and encouraged him to watch the show for something he would recognize. While being interviewed backstage, Michael Cole, The Rock interrupted him to say, "Well, The Rock says this, you should be concerned with fixing yourself a nice tall glass of shut up juice." The following week, fans were holding up signs referencing shut up juice. Tommy apologized to Conan for borrowing the line, but O'Brien loved it and was completely flattered. Which is pretty cool. Look, Muhammad Ali and Andre the Giant. Jesus Christ, that man's fucking fits. Yeah. God, I mean, that fucking arm looks like a horse cock.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just weeks after having his leg amputated, former WCW and WWE superstar Buff Bagwell threw the ceremonial first pitch for the Memphis Redbirds yesterday in their game against the Rochester Red Wings. Buff threw the heat straight down the middle for a strike. That is just encouraging and awesome to see Buff doing
well. Is he going to rock some sort of prosthetic leg, or is he just doing the crutch for a while?
He has a prosthetic leg, I believe. We've got CM Punk with AJ Lee. Yep. For those of you listening, it's a picture of AJ Styles and Dragon Lee. Beautiful little thing. They're just pictures. They can't hurt you, the pictures. Old man Mark Calaway and old man Sting. So they look like Steve two Moore. like old fishermen from like a Norman Rockwell painting.
They look like they'd be on fucking Deadliest Catch. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You know, they there's a celebrity apprentice in their future or Big Brother. I wish we got to see a match with the two of them in their prime. That would have been quite possible.
Or a match with the two of them in general. Because it never happened.
Hey, man. Right? Hey, dude. Riyadh, 2027.
Okay, let me wait. I want Sting and Taker. They're 70 years old. No. You do not know. We put match. We put CGI over. De-age their face. Very good. Very good. And then we all have hummus afterwards.
Hamas in Saudi? That's not great, dude. That's horrible. Jesus.
No,
Rob.
No, no. What Hamas are you trying to do? Jews killed them all.
Oh boy. What are you trying to do? Let's just here. Make everything better. A little Mandy. Little Mandy Rose, Mandy Sachs, Mandy Sachs. Oh, yeah. Oh, give me more of this, please. Look at, oh, hello.
Does anyone have melted butter?
Going to a video store to rent a video wrestling VHS tape. Kids these days just don't know. Yeah. The section, remember, it used to be just all these fucking pay-per-views, and it was great. Or you can go to the record store and get a copy of World Wrestling Federation Superstars, that hit 1993 album with them actually singing songs, which
Duggan with the trumpet.
Yeah.
Who's the one with the red hair? I'm not recognizing
Tatanka. That's Tatanka, bro.
Oh, wow.
Buffalo.
And Bret Hart, he was, after this shoot, he was totally pissed off at the guitar for ruining the sound and making him look like he's an awful guitar player. So,
he looks like such a douche in that picture.
Hey, John Cena.
Oh, God.
Hey, do you guys catch Jersey Mike's has a new sponsor, man? The Sandman. Sell all those subs. Hey, that little kid, always follow your dreams. The kid from Bad Santa who grew up to be NWA World Wrestling Champion, Harley Race. good news, if you are a fan of Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling, it's coming to the WWE Vault on YouTube, which is amazing to see.
Hell yeah.
Three brains right here.
Ah.
Yep.
Krang.
Yep. Hey, oh, Kevin okay. Owens, and I'm fat. Christmas sweater. And of course, Randy Orton in the KO is really fat Christmas sweater. Hammerstone got called out by this guy when Hammerstone was talking about the what's been going on in his anniversary 1 year ago from NXT. This guy says, "Don't care." Now, if you look at that picture, that's the guy. And Hammerstone said, "Oh man, he got me." Yeah.
Alex Rintamaki. This is your internet wrestling community. I don't know for certain, but I'm pretty sure this kid eats homemade chili 4 times a week.
Maybe. Did you guys see a great shot here of a young Arn Anderson after winning his second grade wrestling tournament?
Dude, that guy always looked like he was 20 years older than his actual age.
Then he put his son insane out there, and the kid looked exactly the same.
Right.
Right, and Arn's only 46 now. All right, Squint. Who do you see?
I can't see him.
Yeah, Cena.
I can't see anything.
Yeah, Steve.
Oh, man.
Get your eyes checked, man.
It's Cena. How do they do that? That is insane.
Well, they put
AI,
they put,
AI is a wonderful thing.
They put first they put lettuce, then tomato, then a little onion. A jalapeno, then a little cheese, then a
there's
patty.
There's no jalapeno there.
There's a little jalapeno there.
No, there isn't. You're a white guy, and you put this up, so there's no jalapenos there.
Oh, no, there is a jalapeno there. It is hollow, and his name is Pena. Hey, look who's coming to Luck of the Draw, Sunday, November 23rd, right here at FSW, 5 p.m. at the Silverton Casino. It is Killer Cross. He is back in an FSW ring on November 23rd.
You know, if this is a WWE trick, it's a really long trick.
Yeah, well, you never know. You never know. It could be one of the longest tricks ever. And Scoop, just back to you. Meadow Apocalypse is fucking amazing.
Tommy Blatcha is one of the big voiceovers for that show, as is Mark Hamill and Brendan Smalls. And cheap viewers on Streamboat.com. Remove the space at OKGIXQ9N.
Well, then Rob, after plugging that, why don't you plug your own shit right now?
Yes. Well, we have a really important show this Wednesday night at Ola Abibi at 9:30. We start rolling in there, and it's off of Charleston in Las Vegas. And we're trying to little by little raise money for cancer to support one of the fans in the community who is trying to, you know, and winning, kicking cancer's ass and battling through it. We're also going to have a show on the 27th at Ola Abibi. And I will also be guest appearing on a show on the 27th as well, two shows that day. So look for me on two of the different shows this coming September 27th, and more dates to come in October.
Okay.
Vegas Trump Guy for more details. At Vegas Trump Guy for more details.
All right. Well, then, Steve, at this point, why don't you tell us, I think, about, what would I say, how awesome it was people joined us tonight. Something about troops of some sort. And
PP. All right. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, RepSports, REPPSports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, RepSports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%.
There you go. All right. Well, with that, that wraps up this week's episode. It's been fun. It's been...
Oh, just play the fucking cowboy boots again.
All right. You asked for it then, Rob.
DJ Impact's raw high cowboy boots. White snake skin pattern on the top of the shoe. I got my hat on. I'ma tie it with a noose. Cause I love you to death, girl. You got me on you. Yeah, these girls do the most. Like every time I talk, they don't like what I post. I went down to Texas to perform a couple shows. Cause they love the way I move and they love the way I roll. Big pimpin' on a flight to New York. No, I'm not from Texas, but I'm on the dance floor. Do-si-do with a blonde little bang. I just might give her a ring and I just wanna hear her sing. DJ Impact's raw high cowboy boots. White snake skin pattern on the top of the shoe. I got my hat on.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.